Morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. It's Wednesday, September 19th. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. The candidates for Sitka Assembly made their way into the Raven Radio studios on Monday night. They answered questions live on the air about a variety of city issues. KCAW's Ed Ronco takes a look at one of those issues, affordable housing.
Monday night's forum included candidates Phyllis Hackett, Matt Hunter, Michelle Putz, and Aaron Swanson. Assembly candidate Dallas Peavy planned to be there, but fell ill Monday and couldn't make it. The four who were in the room took a variety of questions, some from listeners who called in. One caller wondered about Sitkans finding good places to live.
People who make even a decent salary can't find a place to live. What can we do to find more affordable housing?
For candidate Matt Hunter, the issue is front and center.
There's a couple different options that have come to the assembly table recently. One is opening the benchlands. I think that has the greatest potential to do the greatest amount to actually change that situation. I'd like to see smaller lots, small enough that the homes have to be in the $200,000 price range, something that people can get a loan for.
Hunter is 30. And he says that he has seen friends struggle with finding an affordable place to live.
But it's not just young people who are looking for houses. There's also the newly retired who are finding it very difficult to find adequate housing in this town.
Hunter suggested looking at existing city code to see if there were ways to open up more rental properties.
You know, I came to Sitka in 1972, and affordable housing was the question then, too. I remember living on a small little 17-foot boat trying to find a place to live. So this is not a new issue.
But it is an important one, says Phyllis Hackett. She agrees with Hunter that maybe there's some relief to be found by changing Sitka's zoning laws.
There are ways that we can encourage mother-in-law apartments above garages and things that may not be currently allowed with examining our zoning. And it just has to come to the forefront. There have been so many forums on affordable housing over the years. I don't think that the need has been diminished at all. I think everybody is aware of the need. It's just a matter of finding solutions.
One of the proposed solutions is using city property known as the Old City Shops and another parcel at the Benchlands to develop affordable housing.
I really would like to see affordable housing in Sitka, somebody that lives paycheck to paycheck.
That's Aaron Swanson. He says the Benchlands, for example, are an important element in solving Sitka's affordable housing shortage, but he also had his reservations.
I'm a little concerned because I was looking at the assembly minutes, and one of the suggestions was sell the Benchlands outright to one person. That kind of scares me, that one person, if they're not going to buy the land to lose money, they're going to buy the land to make a profit.
Swanson suggested a property tax credit for people who own multiple lots to encourage them to sell some of their extra lots at lower rates.
I'm nodding to all these folks.
Michelle Putz.
Rezoning, I think, is one of the first things we need to do. We need to have smaller lots. We need to have more multiple family housing opportunities so that you can develop something at a lower cost that's going to be cheaper to buy or to rent.
And she says Sitkans should consider tapping existing resources, such as the Baranoff Island Housing Authority.
They are doing some really great work, and they pointed out to me that, you know, they're not just for the Native community, they're for all of us. So figuring out a way to work with them to get more housing built at lower costs.
There were more issues discussed Monday night. Listeners asked how to diversify Sitka's economy, whether the city should offer financial support to nonprofits, funding for education, attracting more cruise passengers, and the Sheldon Jackson campus. You can hear their responses. We've posted Monday's forum to our website, kcaw.org. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Cass Pook is running for another term on the Sitka School Board this October. The three-term veteran says there's still work to do, and while she's always willing to lend a compassionate ear to parents, she believes a student's success begins at home. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has his profile.
Cass Pook has seen a lot of changes in her 10 years of service on the school board. Both the federal and state governments have imposed a standard system on schools, and she sees better accountability for teachers. But her worries are far from over.
I think we need to have some courageous conversations. People don't always want to talk about the low Native student achievement or low-income families, but we need to have those conversations to know how to put supports in so that we do see an increase every year in achievement.
Puck has worked to build those supports into her own family. Shortly after she began her first term on the school board, the district adopted a standards-based grading system. The absence of traditional letter grades was upsetting to some parents at first, but Puck recognized advantages.
When my kids' report cards came home, I knew which areas of math they were weak in and what they were strong in language arts, what they were weak in, what they were strong in. And as a parent, that was really beneficial for me as a native parent.
Puck's other academic concern is unchanged from her very first day on the job. Is core math right for Sitka? She was out of town when the math audit came in and is eager to hear the results. Puck wants college-bound Sitka students to not find themselves in remedial math classes. Puck sees her work on the Sitka School Board as a way, in part, to address her own education. In what she might consider a courageous conversation, she admits that she struggled in the Sitka schools. She doesn't blame the system so much as the times. Her own mother went to boarding school and did not pass on fluency in Tlingit. Puck knows that her education fell short in some areas.
I was kind of pushed aside, and as long as I knew how to read and write and do basic math, then that was good. That was okay. But I don't think you could say that was just Sitka where I grew up. I think it was just something that from my era was acceptable.
This is where Puck says her quiet advocacy stems from, and she says the district has made huge strides in serving more diverse needs in students. But she also believes that the work doesn't begin on the first day of school.
Don't mean to offend anybody if I voice that some people have the view that it's the school's job to educate their child, but it really takes parent involvement. And if you don't have the supports or you can't support your child at home, go to the school and find out what's available. What's available to help my child to succeed?
The Sitka School District has made a huge investment in technology over the past 2 years. Puck discusses this with no hint of irony. She is a ward clerk at Mount Edgecombe Hospital and says she is not really comfortable with computers.
But our kids are living in a global world, and if we don't give them technology, I think we're failing them. When they go to college, if we don't give them the technology and the tools they need right now, they're going to be behind because it's the way our world is going.
Puck wants to keep giving Sitka students advantages as long as she can, and that includes extracurricular activities. She says that every year at the statewide meeting of school boards in Anchorage, she meets people from districts that have been pared down to core academic classes and little else. A frequently asked question of the Sitka board members is, how do you do it? How do you keep it all going? Puck says Sitka is exceptional.
We live in a great community with organizations that help out. We work together and we keep what we can. But those are also the conversation I would like to hear from the community. What do you think we should keep? What do you think we should let go of?
Like many of the candidates in this year's municipal elections for both the school board and the assembly, Puck says the district's relationship with the city is fragile and could be improved. But overall, as someone who works in healthcare, she finds the district to be in good health. The municipal election in Sitka is Tuesday, October 2nd. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Cass Puck and official write-in candidate Jennifer Robinson. We'll take your calls live on the air tonight on Raven Radio, beginning at 6:35 this evening. To listen to or read profiles of all the candidates in this year's municipal election, visit our website at kcaw.org. What's the most effective and economically feasible method of curbing water pollution from large tour ships? Alaska's Cruise Ship Science Advisory Panel meets in Juneau this week to try and answer that question. They'll also review a preliminary report to the State Department of Environmental Conservation. Rob Edwardson manages DEC's cruise ship program.
The report will cover their analysis of the information that they've collected for existing and additional systems and methods.
Lawmakers delayed strict new wastewater discharge limits in 2009 while appointing the panel to consider developing and available technologies. Its 11 members represent industry, government, fishing, coastal communities, and other interests. The panel will meet today and Friday at Juneau's Gold Belt Hotel. Edwardson says a Thursday session at nearby Centennial Hall will present choices and issues.
The technology workshop is for members of the public to be able to walk through and look at a number of different displays that details the history of cruise ships in Alaska, the cruise ship wastewater issues, and the panel's work from the past 2 years.
The panel's final report is due in 2015. Meanwhile, the Department of Environmental Conservation is developing a new permit for cruise ships that discharge wastewater within state maritime boundaries. The State Health Department says it has received a $1.4 million grant to strengthen Alaska's youth suicide prevention program. The department, in a news release, says the federal grant will help groups statewide offer suicide prevention training and develop prevention tools for their communities. Melissa Stone, director of the department's Behavioral Health Division, says such efforts are crucial to preventing suicide among Alaska youth, for whom the suicide rate is higher than the national average. The department says the state's suicide prevention efforts have gotten a boost of nearly $2 million between the grant and $450,000 from the legislature for school-based suicide prevention training. The National Weather Service says Anchorage could be in for some more high wind. Meteorologist Sean Baines told the Anchorage Daily News today that strong winds could touch much of the city, with the highest predicted for the Upper Hillside neighborhood early in the morning today. Forecasters say there could be gusts from 85 to 110 miles an hour in the foothills and gusts to 45 miles an hour in other parts of the city. Baines says Wednesday's storm is expected to bring variable conditions with rain, similar to a weekend storm, but will probably be of short duration. That's it for Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. Good morning.